Thanks for joining us on the GFSI podcast series. In this series, we'll be exploring the world of GFSI and food safety as we work to share regular updates on our work and help build trust and confidence in food safety globally. Each month, we'll be joined by industry experts and key stakeholders from the GFSI community to explore the path ahead, its challenges and opportunities. Hello, and welcome to the latest edition of the GFSI podcast series. I have the pleasure to be joined by Dave Green, who is the chair of the Science and Technology Advisory Group, which we like to call STAG. Hi, David. Thanks for participating in today's podcast.
Thanks, Linda, very much for the invite to be here.
Let's dive straight into it. So to start with, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and your previous professional background?
I've recently just retired from Mars, actually, after 35 years. And shockingly, even that wasn't my first job. So I actually started off life as a public health microbiologist based at Fazakerley Hospital in Liverpool, which I did for 3 years. I learned a huge amount. I then saw an advert, a new scientist, for a shift microbiologist to go and work at Mars based in Slough. My boss at the time thought I was mad. He said, look, it's going to be really boring. Look at the work you're doing here. You know, this is, you know, investigating infectious disease and you're moving to quality control. It's going to be really boring. And he very kindly said, look, you know, 6 months' time, don't worry about confessing that you've made a mistake. Come back and we'll see what we can do. I never, ever got to that point. I have to say it was a fabulous move. And it was really interesting because it was so applied. So taking microbiology and applying it to food safety in factories, working with associates, other people in the factories to understand their issues, problems, working with engineers to talk about how to better design things, working with the labs to talk about how we could get results more accurately, more quickly. And the whole thing was just an exciting, stimulating kind of mishmash of things all happening together, but all under the heading of microbiology. And I did that for about 3 years, and then I got asked to work on developing new products and innovation programs. I was part of the team that developed the first Mars ice cream, which was very exciting, a lot of fun. And then after doing that for a couple of years, I moved to Chicago, where I worked for a newly acquired ice cream business into Mars. And so I went from a very well-established business to a new acquisition. It's very entrepreneurial, working in the US, very different. So learned a huge amount again. And also, from a microbiology point of view, learned a lot about listeria, which is one of the things that was becoming an increasing concern at that time. New regulation was coming in. Had a great time in Chicago for 3 years, and then moved to Poland. And working in Poland, I was part of a team that built a dry pet food factory, a wet pet food factory, and a confectionery plant. And the objective was not only to build those factories working locally, but to source all the raw materials as much as we possibly could locally to bring the local benefit for the business being met. Also, I recruited most of an R&D organization, and it was an incredible privilege to see people developing, to see the business developing, to see, you know, the value that we could bring to the local community. It was very special. I was there for 5 years. I left as the Polish R&D director, and then moved to work in food based in the Netherlands, a place called Oud Beijerland, which is just outside Rotterdam. A very, very nice area. I'm working with a team that was largely Dutch, but also in a European business. And we did some great work on innovation. And once again, you know, food safety has always been at the core of kind of what I do, quality and food safety. But working on a lot of new products, things like Uncle Ben's pouch rice, which was very exciting, and Dolmio sauce and Seeds of Change, getting into organic products, which was really interesting. Did that for 5 years, and then I had a role, something called the staff officer, which was representing the Mars Western region Western European region into the NOS's head office and represented the head office back into the region. And that was all about developing supply strategies, CAB, and also a level of governance around associate safety and food safety. Did that for a few years, and then I was asked to move, I think it was just at the end of 2009, to McLean, Virginia, so kind of back to the US. And I was there until around about 2018, initially as the Vice President of Corporate R&D, so working with the different R&D groups in the last business. Also, I developed and put together a central quality and food safety group. Mars had always been decentralized, but we took some time to put together a central group. We built a, designed and built a global food safety center just outside Beijing in China, and recruited an enormously gifted and skilled group of people to work there in food safety research. After I think it was about 6 years, I was asked to be the chief science officer. And I joke with my friends, but it's not really a joke. I'm not really chief science officer material. I was much more of a vice president kind of R&D type person, but learned massively in the role. And from my predecessor, who'd been doing the role as well, learned an enormous amount from him about really what makes good science, how science can bring such massive benefit to society, and how do you generate trust in science? And I've always been passionate about science, so this was an incredibly stimulating time. For family reasons, I moved back to the UK around about 2018, and then retired about 6 weeks ago now, I think it was. And so really, really pleased and delighted and privileged to have the opportunity of working in this role at GFSI and putting together this this group of people.
Well, can I just say that sounds like a very interesting and vast background that you have. I just wanted to touch on a little point that we often get told that food safety is not as sexy as other global challenges such as climate change or health, so it gets less attention. How would you personally respond to that? And in what way has that motivated you to work on this within much of your career?
Yeah, it's a really interesting point, isn't it? That there are so many things, there are so many challenges in the world that demand our attention. So how do we make sure that all the children get the right amount of love kind of thing? Because there's so many demands on our attention. I think it probably is fair to say that food safety is a little bit more esoteric. It's a little bit more difficult to understand and maybe not as widely publicized as some other areas. But if you think about the number of people working on food safety, think about all the people in the food supply chain, farmers, primary producers, secondary producers, retailers, branded manufacturers. You think about all the people at your local butcher shop, people at the local market. You think about all the people involved with food, and they're all working to some extent on food safety. So whilst it may not be as visible, I think in terms of people who are hands-on involved, it probably wins hands down in terms of the amount of effort that people are putting into it. I remember standing with one of the associates, a long-serving associate, and it was late shift. We'd been doing some line trials, and we were watching a production line and watching products coming down a production line. And he asked me what I saw, and I said, "Well, I'm looking at some pretty great Snickers bars. Actually, I think these are really good." And he said, "Well, what you should see is somebody's son, somebody's daughter, somebody's mum, somebody's dad, somebody's auntie, somebody's uncle, because all of these products are going to somebody." And it just blew me away, that insight, that the responsibility we have to ensure that each of those products, is fit for purpose and safe. And the amount of effort that we have to put to do that. I mean, that's what gets me so excited about food safety, is just the sheer responsibility of it all and how we meet that responsibility every day, 7 days a week, is such a challenge.
You've just touched on a point that I wanted to raise, that food safety is often promoted as being everyone's business. Can you explain a little bit more about the role of academia in playing to support food safety more globally?
Yeah, I mean, the role of academia is an essential pillar in food safety. This is where, you know, most of the research takes place. This is where we're training future food safety experts, future food handlers, future business people are coming through, you know, those training kind of flows. It's so critical that we give them the right understanding. It's so critical we have the right research. It's so critical that we focus our resources on the right things so that we can be successful in that mission of delivering safe food. And you know, it's the business of safe food, but it's also the business of food security. Because more and more, and it's interesting with COVID, I think generally, you know, the food industry responded brilliantly in making sure that we could maintain supply. It was difficult, but so that we could maintain supply. The challenges that we face from climate change probably make COVID look like a day out in the park, if you think about some of the things that might happen in the future. And ensuring that our food supplies are fit for the future, that they are appropriate in terms of the emissions that they make, that they're appropriate in terms of the social benefits that they bring. I think it's such an exciting area, and it needs so much involvement from a wide variety of stakeholders. And academia, I think, are critical to that collaboration.
Thank you for highlighting the important role that academia is going to play with food safety. As many of you might know, GFSI has just launched STAG. So therefore, could you provide me with a bit more insight as into what STAG does?
Yeah, sure. So I think, GFSI have announced, you know, this race to the top, this belief that actually, you know, in answer to the question, can we do this better? The answer is yes, we can do this better. And we can make food and produce food more efficiently, with less harm to the environment and better for people. And to start some of that thinking and to start feeding into some of that ambition, what better place to start than by getting a really good understanding of the current scientific trends, current and future scientific trends, on what they might mean for business. So the role of the STAG is to create a very independent, transparent review of the science with the best experts that we can find. And you know, we envision that, you know, the STAG will have a standing membership, but we'll recognize that, you know, we can't be expert in everything. So we'll work with the leaders, the research leaders, the thought leaders in different spaces as we work on different things, to pull together very high quality papers and reviews of the science, of the data, of the information that's available, to answer the question, so what for business? What do we need to do about it? How do we get ready for this? You know, how do we prepare? And so I see it as provoking, I see it as answering questions, and I see it as bringing, the best version of the scientific truth that we can in a very open way.
That sounds so interesting. And in your opinion, why is STAG so important to the work of GFSI?
Well, I think, you know, without that fundamental basis of science, and, you know, those of us who are passionate about science know that the great thing is it's the best data, the best knowledge, it's the best thinking at the time that we can base our activities on. Or the same things that are going to change how we do things, and therefore, how do we prepare? We can't be prepared for the future without STAG, without this insight.
It really does sound critical to GFSI's activities. I just wanted to talk a little bit about GFSI's work on public-private partnerships and capability building. What do you think STAG can do to help GFSI to deliver on its outcomes in these areas?
Yeah, I mean, well, there's so many areas already where, you know, in public-private partnerships, there are already great scientific groups working on different things. And, you know, I've seen lots of really great kind of content generated by Codex, by FAO, by WHO, by these sorts of groups of people, which is hugely valuable. And I think having the SAG allows us to get closer to business, to involve business more in those types of conversations, not to get in the way of them, it's not to duplicate anything, just the opposite. It's to ensure that we can contribute as businesses as effectively as possible in these kinds of discussions. But I think educating business, I think bringing science into business, making a difference to business is what we all want. And that's going to be crucial, you know, if we're going to achieve the goals that we all have for the future of the food supply chain.
Well, I'm just a bit curious, given your valuable experience with STAG, what do you think will be the key challenges and opportunities in food safety in the near future?
Oh, gosh, you know, Linda, I really think we're at a tipping point. And what's causing that tipping point? Well, we're seeing pretty significant shifts in regulation. We're moving to risk-based regulation and in many places. And understanding risk assessment, risk management, and risk communication is becoming more important than ever. At the same time, the technology that we use for food safety, the methods that we use becoming more sensitive, they're becoming more rapid. We're getting new techniques that we've never really had access to before, things like whole genome sequencing, which allows us to look at a bacterial isolate or a viral isolate and fingerprint it. Fingerprint it so we absolutely know its identity. And maybe in the not too distant future so that we can predict some of its behavior. Or we can understand not only one organism, but the full ecology of the organisms that we're dealing with. So, you know, previously, you know, when we've cultured things, we culture Listeria, we culture Salmonella, we culture E. coli. But being able to look at the entirety of what's in the microbial ecosystem gives the opportunity for new indicators of risk, new understanding of how microorganisms collaborate to create risk or to reduce risk. So it's massively exciting. And of course, against all of this is the backdrop of, you know, the leaps in computational science. We've all heard about big data, but, you know, we're seeing so many really interesting applications now of big data, of novel ways of predicting risk in food safety. So you put all that together and I think, oh my gosh, you know, what's it going to look like in a couple of years' time? It's already, you know, starting to change. So I think it's a pretty safe prediction to say it's going to accelerate and it's going to look very different than it does today, even. And we've got to get ready for that.
Well, I know I, for one, Dave, I'm so looking forward to following the work and the valuable outputs of STAG as the group moves forward. I thoroughly enjoyed chatting to you today, Dave, and hope you've all enjoyed this podcast as much as I have. I look forward to catching up with you all during the next episode of the GFSI podcast series. Thank you once again for joining us for this episode of the GFSI podcast series. If you'd like to hear more about what we discussed today or to be added to the GFSI emailing list, please visit our website at www.mygfsi.com. Thank you and speak to you soon.